Welcome to another podcast from Air Insight, LLC.
Good morning. Today is Thursday, March 13th, 2008. With us on the Air Insight podcast today is Addison Schoenland and Scott Hamilton. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the Boeing protest on the KC-45 tanker award to Northrop Grumman. One of the things that I find particularly interesting about this is the differences in the debriefs and the interpretations of the debriefs that you get from Boeing and Northrop. Northrop says we won by a wide margin. Boeing says, well, we won on several points, and the model was changed, and that's why we lost, and a few other points. And you have the Air Force, of course, saying it was a fair and open competition and that Northrop won comfortably. I think now that Boeing, in fact, has filed a protest, they need to pursue it as aggressively as they possibly can to clear up these widely divergent opinions and interpretations of the debriefs. Addison, what do you think?
The thing that has been ringing a bell for me has been the news that's sort of creeping out, and one never knows quite where it's coming from. But apparently quite a lot of people aren't associated with the Northrop Grumman group approach, and they are ex-Senator McCain staffers, which I found kind of peculiar. And then, of course, the announcement a couple of days ago by Northrop Grumman that suddenly there were going to be these all these new jobs that they were going to create because they'd underestimated the original number of jobs they were going to create. The whole deal, I guess, is now starting to spin a little out of control.
Well, we have two parallel tracks going on here. One is the protest on the merits of the analysis and the competition by the Air Force. And that's where you get these different interpretations by Boeing and Northrop of who won and by how much. And then the other parallel track that you have is, of course, the political arena. And that's where you get the whole thing about this revelation that EADS personnel have contributed to John McCain, although a footnote to that, so did some Boeing people. You have the continuing rallying cry about the so-called illegal subsidies to Airbus and the American flag versus the French flag. You have lobbyists now working for the McCain campaign who at one time worked for EADS. And then, of course, there's the jobs issue that you just mentioned. You know, I really think that the WTO and the campaign contributions and the lobbyists are probably pretty much irrelevant to what's going on here, because the EADS contributions to McCain only amounted to about $20,000. And if McCain can be bought for $20,000, then the country would have a larger problem if he were elected president than just that. You know, if you're going to be bought, you know, your price better be higher than that. But the one thing out of all of this that particularly intrigues me is the jobs issue. Now, for the past year, Northrop has been just dissing Boeing's jobs claims on the KC-767, which was 44,000 direct and indirect jobs that would be supported by that program. Northrop was saying that for its tanker, they could only identify 25,000 jobs which would be supported. And that's kind of the root of this whole exporting jobs thing. And now what you have, basically a week or 10 days after the tanker announcement was made by the Air Force, you have Northrop coming out and saying, whoops, just kidding. We really are going to create 48,000 jobs, direct and indirect, in the United States. Now, that doesn't even count all of the other jobs in Europe that'll be supported on the tanker, which, you know, you remember the KC-30 is only about 60% American content, and Boeing claims 85% American content for the 767, which you can dispute that, and I think there's some merit to disputing that. But nonetheless, what you have now is Boeing claiming fewer jobs for a higher American content than Northrop claims for its KC-30 with lower American content. And so now you're beginning to wonder, well, how did this come about? Well, Northrop did make an explanation in its press release that it had deeper conversations with its suppliers and used a labor department formula and all of this. But it just looks very odd. You have more jobs for less American content, plus all the European jobs, than Boeing is claiming for its tanker. And this comes out right at the peak of this political frenzy of exporting jobs. What are your thoughts on that?
I find the whole thing has descended now from a purely straightforward selection on merit following supposedly simple transparent rules into a mess. I don't know if I can believe anybody anymore, because what the numbers will change, the wind will change, the temperature will change, somebody will think of something new. You know, for me, for the EADS Northrop Grumman approach, I could say, okay, this would make sense if, for example, there would be a clear and unequivocal statement that says, regardless of whatever else is happening, the Airbus A330 will now be built entirely in the United States going forward. Then, of course, I could see, okay, so there's something going on here. But for something like this to see such a huge jump in jobs from 25,000 to 48,000, and it's some formula and it's the Department of Labor, it becomes all murky now. Everything's murky. And I find the whole thing quite disappointing, I think.
Well, another thing that you have to also remember about or think about with respect to the new Northrop number on the jobs is that this process didn't just happen in the 10 days between the Air Force announcement and when they released it. You know, if you take a look at their press release, once again, they say, well, we talked to all these industrial suppliers and the Labor Department and all this other stuff. You know, this process obviously went on for quite a while. So it sort of, to me, falls into the refrain of the old Watergate statement, what did they know and when did they know it? How long have they known that the jobs figure has changed? And, you know, it's all very odd. So I think that, you know, a couple of things need to happen here. One, Boeing absolutely aggressively needs to pursue the protest to resolve the differences between their interpretation of the Air Force process and the debrief and who won what by how much, and the Northrop interpretation of that process. The only way that you're going to resolve that, if you do resolve it at all, is to indeed aggressively pursue this protest on the part of Boeing. Now, for the political side of things, this, again, as I say, I think the whole WTO thing and the lobbyist thing and the employee contributions to McCain, I think that's all pretty much irrelevant stuff. But with respect to the jobs thing, it has just a real odd look about it as to what did they know, when did they know it, and how is it that it came out at this particular time? You know, if there's something that was manipulated there, was there something else that was manipulated?
Well, yeah, the whole manipulation thing. Let's talk about the other thing that, remember when this whole tanker, the need for the tanker was discussed, the need for the tanker was all based around the needs of the warfighter. You know, we want to keep the people in the field safe and protected and all that sort of stuff. Well, that's gone right out the window now.
Yeah.
Now it's all about jobs.
Yeah, exactly. And what warfighter?
So this whole deal, I think, for me, has just become quite sour.
Yeah, it just has a really bad look. You know, even though I think the McCain connection is really, you know, fundamentally irrelevant, it's the appearance factor again. You know, in the political world, appearances mean everything.
Especially in an election year.
Well, you're exactly right, especially in an election year. And, you know, here's John McCain, Mr. Clean, you know, who rightly torpedoed the first Boeing tanker deal because of the illegalities involved and the improper process that was involved there. And let's remember that Boeing did pay a fine of in the hundreds of millions of dollars on that. So, you know, even to his credit, Jim McNerney, the CEO of Boeing, acknowledged that Boeing screwed up on that. So the Democrats targeting McCain over that are way out of line because Boeing said we screwed up. But the subsequent stuff about the contributions and the lobbyists, it just has a bad appearance for John McCain, who has portrayed himself as Mr. Clean and who during the primary season cited the Boeing tanker scandal as one of the reasons that he should be elected the nominee of the Republican Party. So there's a real bad smell to the look of that, even though I think it's entirely irrelevant here. So that concludes the podcast for today on the tanker issue. Obviously, this is going to continue, and we'll revisit this as news warrants. So on behalf of Addison Schoenlein and myself, Scott Hamilton, thank you for listening.
This podcast is copyrighted by Air Insight, LLC.